power play as Lucas Ceccarelli eluded Hobie Hedquist for a 2-1 lead, which SFU took to the second intermission despite getting outshot by Ferris State 10-9, 19-17 after 40 minutes. The Bulldogs tied the game with 3:49 left in regulation on Max Dukovac's tally on Jesse McKay, ended period 3 outshooting the Redleafs 11-4, and won with 47 seconds left in OT as Dukovac assisted on Jesse Mitzig's goal on Jesse McKay, who gave up 3 goals on 34 shots. As for offense, SFU was led by Lucas Ceccarelli with a goal and assist, while Ferris State was led by Max Dukovac with a goal and assist, while Hobie Hedquist made 21 saves on 23 shots. Later on, the BCIHL Redleafs opened its 2025-26 regular season at home as they hosted the Okanagan Lakers at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center. Okanagan got on board 2:15 into the game on Colton Boyarski eluded SFU's Max Fowl. Physical play ensued soon after the opening goal as both teams got penalized, with Okanagan's William Chabago and SFU's Samuel Brown being sent for roughing at 2:54, but Brown got 2 extra minutes, and the Lakers scored against the Redleafs on the power play as Colton Boyarski scored his second of the night at 3:31. The Lakers opened a three-goal bulge just before the middle of first on Jake Watson's first at 9:33, but the Redleafs got on board less than 2 minutes later as Ethan Witten eluded Connor Lemieux at 10:59. But Okanagan restored their 3-goal lead late in the first on Colton Boyarski's third of the night with 2:40 left on SFU's Max Fowl as the Lakers ended the first period up 4-1 on the Redleafs, who had a 13-12 edge in shots, and started period 2 with 1:45 left in power play on Jake Watson's 2 penalties, 2 for head contact and 10 for misconduct. Samuel Brown scored on the man advantage on Connor Lemieux 55 seconds into the period, where SFU dominated Okanagan despite a lot of physical play, but couldn't further solve Connor Lemieux as the Redleafs outshot the Lakers 12-7 with a 25-19 shot edge after 40 minutes. However, SFU's Gavin Baines was penalized for tripping 2:50 into period 3, and Johnny Carmichael eluded Cam Fowl Max Fowl 27 seconds later for a 5-2 Okanagan lead over SFU. While the Redleafs resumed pressure on the Lakers' backstop, Connor Lemieux, as Samuel Brown scored his second of the night at 9:05. That was as close as SFU got, as Okanagan won 5-3. The Lakers were led by Colton Boyarski with 3 goals, an assist for the first star, while Carter Benson chalked up 4 assists, and the backstop Connor Lemieux stopped 35 of 38 shots. Meanwhile, the Redleafs were led by Samuel Brown with 2 goals for the third star, Jaden Fawchuk with 2 assists, and backstop Max Fowl allowed 5 goals on 27 shots.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Zamboni's going around near myself and interviewee. I'm in between dressing rooms 4 and 6 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center on October 17th, 2025, and I'm interviewing
Samuel Brown,
the third star in tonight's SFU-BCIHL Redleafs 5-3 loss to the Okanagan Lakers, with 2 goals for SFU. Tell me what went wrong in the game.
I mean, I just think we got to bury down our chances. Like, the chances were there as we outshot them, but just the capitalization needs to be there. It's only our first game, so let's keep rolling from there.
Tell me about your 2 goals tonight.
2 goals tonight, they're pretty greasy goals. They weren't that much
what does the Red Leafs have to do to win their first game of the season at Logan Lake next week?
I mean, it just starts on Tuesday with practice, just bearing down, just getting more team chemistry in practice. Like, it's our first game in 2 weeks, so there's a lot left in the tank, and we'll be ready to use it at Logan Lake.
Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
I started playing hockey when I was about 9 years old for Cloverdale Minor Hockey Association.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
That would have been Pee Wee first year.
How old were you back then?
I would have been about 11 years old.
Okay. Before the interview, we talked about you being a pick of the Vancouver Giants in 2019, from what I understand. Tell me about your journey with the Vancouver Giants system.
Yeah, it's definitely an unreal system. I got to participate in 3 training camps, played hard in them, got to get a lot of knowledge from coaches, like Coach Nally, Coach in the NHL, playing with guys like Samuel Honzik or Jesper Bikman, both in the NHL now. Just being around those guys really shows you how to play hockey.
Tell me about the last team you played before playing for the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs.
Yeah, before I played for the Langley Trappers for the last 3 years in the PIJHL, and unreal coach there, Brad Mackin, he really helped me grow my game just both physically and mentally, and he really just pushed me to be a better hockey player every single day, and that's his goal, is just to advance guys.
How did the BCHL getting out of Junior A to become an independent league impact the PIJHL, in your opinion?
I didn't think it impacted it too much. I mean, it just created a new way for guys just to get to the next level, especially now that the PIJHL is affiliated with the WHL, so they got guys going up and down, so it's really just a benefit for both leagues, I think.
Tell me about the moment when you signed on with the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs.
I was pretty ecstatic when Guido and Jim offered me to play here. I really wanted to play here just to continue my education playing hockey, and it just works out great. Like, the boys are amazing. I was like, every day I just want to be at the rink.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs?
I want to win a championship this year, and that's definitely achievable with the group we have. It just starts every single day getting 1% better, and we'll be there. We'll be in the championship game this year.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Congratulations on becoming the third star with your 2 goals. And best of luck in Logan Lake next Friday.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hello, it's Steve Chong. Still in between the dressing rooms 4 and 6 at Burnaby's Phil Copeland Sports Center. Now in front of me is
Max Bowell,
the backstop for the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs, who fell to the Okanagan Lakers 5-3 in the 2025-26 season opener. First of all, tell me about the first period where the Lakers went up 4-1.
Just seemed like we were a little bit nervous. Obviously, our first regular season game of the season. A lot of new players, but I thought we really picked it up after that and cleaned it up on our end. And I think we won the second half of the game there. And it was just a tough first period, but I thought the boys battled back well. But obviously, you can't do that every game, giving up so much in the first.
Tell me about some of the saves you made in the last 40 minutes.
I think I made some pretty solid saves. I thought I came into my own a little bit in the second and third period. I just felt like I was seeing the puck a little bit better, and we weren't getting as many game scoring chances. So, yeah.
What do you think about the second period where SFU was clearly the better team, but still ended period 2 down by 2?
I think you're definitely the better team in the second period. We came out a lot harder, cleaned it up in our end, but we generated a lot of offense. Only got 1 goal, but I think if we keep playing like that, the goals are going to come, and we just got to keep it rolling in those last 2 periods.
What happened in the Lakers' 5th goal, a power play marker?
I think it was a shot came out from behind the goal line out to front, and they shot it, made the save, and then stopped the rebound, and then he just kept jamming it, and eventually, yeah, it was just a good power play goal. Hopefully we can clean up the rebounds in front, but yeah.
Personally, I think SFU deserve a better fate. But the Okanagan Lakers goalie, Lemieux, he played very well as well, even though he was never credited with a star in the game.
Yeah.
Now I want to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
When did I start the game?
Yeah.
I started playing hockey when I was 4 years old.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
Probably in Adam first year of hockey.
What year was that? How old were you back then?
Like 9 years old.
Okay. Yeah. What was the last time you played for before the SFU BCHL Red Leafs?
I played for the Richmond Softcats.
How did the BCHL getting out of junior A to become independent, which bumped up PIJHL to junior A, impact your development?
There's definitely a lot more interest in playing the PIJHL, maybe.
Tell me about the moment when you signed with the SFU BCHL Red Leafs.
When I signed, I think I was still playing in Richmond, and Rito reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to play. I actually can't let that turn out for you, and I thought about it for a little bit. So I thought about it for my parents and thought it would be a good opportunity for people to keep playing.
So what are you doing?
How old are you at this time?
I'm 21 years old.
Which year of eligibility? Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU BCHL Red Leafs?
I'm hoping that we can make a good run in the playoffs this year, bring us back from what the program used to be, and try to have a better record than last year. And just keep, we've got a lot of young players on this team.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Also, best of luck against the Logan Lake Miners next Friday. Hi, it's Steve Chong once again. Now I'm just outside of Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, just next to Dressing Room 6, which is for the SFU Independent Red Leafs, who played earlier today in Michigan. And I'm now interviewing
Jim Rogers.
He is one of the coaches for the SFU BCHL Red Leafs, but was the head coach tonight due to the head coach, Guido Lamberti-Charles, being sick, from what I understand. First of all, what happened in tonight's 5-3 loss to the Okanagan Lakers in the SFU BCHL Red Leafs home opener?
What happened? Well, they scored 5, we scored 3, right? So, it was a shaky start. Our guys were a little bit nervous. We have a lot of new players to the league. Once we got our legs under us, you know, after the 4-1 lead from the other team, we won the game 2-1. So we got to take the positives out of it. We have a lot of young players. Bad start, nervous start, but then we got our legs, and I loved how the guys competed and played today.
Tell me about the second period where SFU was clearly the better team, but still ended it down 4-2.
Yeah, we had, in hockey, there's puck luck and no puck luck, and we had no puck luck. We, you know, in our analytics, we had 12 scoring chances from the optimum area of the ice, and really a one goal. We had 6 or 7, you know, 10-star chances. I'm really happy with our offensive guys. We've been working on a system with Guido and I, and it's coming to fruition. Like, we're really happy with that second period. We're even happy with the third period. That team from Okanagan is a good hockey team. They have veteran players. We have 13 or 14 new players on our roster. They've played 4 league games already, and that's our first game. So we're looking good. Things are on the upswing, and we're really happy with our offense as well as our defense.
Quite an unbalance in the BCHL schedule, as Okanagan has played 4 games already with SFU starting just now.
Yeah. I don't know how they schedule it. Just you got to play them when they tell you to play them. So that was our first game. Again, we were happy. You know, from the back end, Max kept us in there. Our goalie, the defense, they did their job. Really want to talk about our PK as well. We've been working hard on it. Power play, we still need an adjustment here or two. But all three phases of the game, I'm really happy with our guys. You know, Dieter and I, we want to represent change. And our message to the kids is change. It's a new sheet of ice, and they did really well. We're very, very happy with that start. Unfortunately, it was, you know, the result was against us. But that was a good hockey game from us.
Now I'd like to delve into your personal journey in hockey. When did you start the game?
Oh, 50 years ago. So I started playing when I was a little kid, when I was in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And then from there, various stations throughout the world. But the last 7 years I've been in BC. Before that, I was in Germany for close to 30 years.
Wow.
Head coach, general manager, director of hockey operations, director of scouting, mostly in professional leagues in Germany, the DEL, the DEL2, and the DEL3. And been back here, and I live in White Rock. Guido is a good friend of mine, and we decided to take on the task of revamping this team.
Tell me of the last team you worked for before the SFUBCHL Brothers.
Oh, I've got a bunch of things currently going on. So I've been working a little bit with the NHL and Central Scouting. I scout for Penticton V's in the Western Hockey League. You know, I'm an advisor here with SFU. Before that, my last job was in the DEL in Germany with the Hamburg Freezers.
What level of play is DEL?
The DEL is the equivalent to the American Hockey League. So that would be the Abbotsford Canucks, who won the AHL title last year. Players from that league will go to the German European League or the Swiss League or the Sweden League when their contracts run out with the Canucks or other teams in the American Hockey League. And they'll go over usually when they're about 28, 29, 30 years old and then try to continue their career until they're maybe 35, 36 years old.
From what I understand, AHL has like a 250-game professional rule.
Yeah, I'm not 100% familiar with that. What I do know is they're allowed to have six veterans who have played 250 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a developmental league. So they want to get guys in there who've finished their junior careers or their university careers in U Sports or NCAA, and then they transition into the American Hockey League team and hopefully one day to the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm. Well, just before our interview, you brought up an interesting fact about the SFU, BCIHL, and Independent Red Leafs having two dressing rooms. Also, I understand that the BCIHL Red Leafs are practicing in New West Queens Park Arena, a historic one, full-time now. The next home game will be at New West Queens Park Arena on November 8th, 2025. What are the chances that the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs will move to Queens Park Arena full-time?
I'm not smart enough to know that. So that's the senior manager is doing that. But what I can say is Guido and I, when we started here with this team, we wanted to have a home. And I know behind the scenes, Chris Munshaw worked very hard to get us into the New Westminster Memorial Arena. That's where we're practicing Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. That's our home right now. I believe we have two or three games there this year, then the rest of the games here at the Copeland. But long term, we'd like to have that as our home base. It's great for the players. We see it already. The players view it as their home. They're taking care of it. It's their own thing. And that's really important for a hockey player to have you know, similarities and be able to follow his habits. And, you know, it's a little bit of a smaller rink. It's a rink with a long history. We love it there, and we hope next week the fans come out and visit us in New Westminster.
What's the difference between New West Memorial Arena and Queen's Park Arena? I got confused. Are they the same?
The ice surface in New Westminster at Queen's Park is a little smaller. So the rink here is 200 feet by 85, 200 length and 85 width. And at New West, it's probably about 195 length and about 80, 82 in the width. So it's a little smaller, it's a little compacter. The game's a little bit faster because there's less room to move. So it's a distinct advantage when we practice there and play our games there, because it'll mirror the style that we want to play. We have a young, fast team. We get on the puck, we hunt the puck, and in New Westminster, it's very advantageous for us. We have to make adjustments when we come out here as well.
Actually, my question was the difference between New West Memorial Arena and Queen's Park Arena. Are they the same?
Oh, it's the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's Queen's Park Arena in New West, but I call them both the same.
Okay.
I'm just stupid.
No, it's okay. Okay. I didn't know Queen's Park Arena had another name. Finally, what does the Red Leafs have to do to win their first game this season at Logan Lake next Friday?
We did a lot of things right. You know, it's not going to be an institution. I give our team an 8 out of 10 today. You know, we just had bad puck luck. That's all it is. We're a little bit nervous. We knew that was going to happen. Once we got our legs, we got into our structure. We have a defined way of how we want to play in the offensive zone, in the neutral zone, in the defensive zone. And the men did that. It was very, very good. You know, we're on our way. You know, I don't read the horoscopes, but I hope next week we win. So it's a change. It's a change in atmosphere. It's a new slate. It's a fresh sheet of ice. And our guys did as much as they could. We're on our way.
Thank you for the long interview tonight. And best of luck in Logan Lake next Friday.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, perfect.
On October 18th, the SFU Independent Red Leafs played the Lake Superior State University Lakers at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, Michigan, where the puck drop was at noon Pacific as part of the second USA Hockey College Hockey Showcase. As the game became physical from the first period, where both teams had 7 shots on goal each. The Red Leafs opened the scoring at 10:41 of the second on Lucas Ceccarelli, as Lucas Ceccarelli eluded the Lakers starter Andrew Oké, but SFU's Jack Franklin was penalized for slashing with 4:55 left in the second, and Lake Superior tied the game 1:09 later on the man advantage on Brandon Picou's goal on SFU's Gabe Gratton, who gave up the Lakers' second goal 2:20 later to William Ulrich with 1:26 left in period 2 as the Red Leafs trailed 2-1 and being outshot 21-14 after 40 minutes. Near the end of another physical period, Lake Superior's Brandon Picou scored on an empty net with 1 minute left in regulation, and SFU's Kyle Young scored with 1 second left as the Lakers shredded the Red Leafs 3-2, with Lake Superior outshooting SFU 30-21, where Gabe Gratton allowed 2 goals on 29 shots for the Red Leafs, while the Lakers starter, Andrew Oké, made 9 saves on 10 shots in 40 minutes, followed by Rourke Appleby's 10 saves on 11 shots at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, Michigan. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On October 15th, the SPS announced that it will propose a satellite police academy in Surrey, per invitation from BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, Nina Krieger, who has invited multiple police agencies to submit their satellite facilities, with the SPS proposal for a satellite police academy having having support from the Surrey City, Surrey Police Board, and benefits Surrey residents' businesses. The proposed police academy will train at least 90 recruits annually, as the Surrey Police transition is the largest in Canadian history, with 582 officers as of September, with 23 experienced officers and 19 recruits joining the SPS last month, pushing the total number of employees over 1,000 per the September-October newsletter, which was also released on October 15th. Extortion crimes have particularly hit Surrey's South Asian community hard, as there have been 65 reported extortion cases, with 35 connected shootings in 2025, per the SPS spokesperson Ian McDonald, according to Chad Pawson of CBC, as the latest shooting took place at Caps Cafe on October 16th on the 8400 block of 120 Street, owned by Kapil Sharma, a famous comedian and TV host. There are no latest numbers as of this month, with a discrepancy between the SPS transition page and its September-October newsletter, as the transition page lists 583 sworn police officers, one more than the September-October newsletter.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 41 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. Now to the last tune, Before 11. It's Patio G featuring Jay Hawley, West Coast Flav 92.
Jan Arden, and if you're listening to something fabulous, well, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
This is broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.